Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the universe, who has given us the Torah of truth and planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen. Very enlightening scripture, isn't it? If only it was in practice today. So many of us would have different lives, but our lifestyle today is totally different. Buying and selling of property is totally different, and of course in those days they didn't have rates and all those sort of things, imposed taxes on them that the government imposes on us. And it's really amazing that, you know, the rates we pay, I don't mind paying for the water that I use, but why have I got to pay for the property that I own? They're not doing anything for me, it's my property, but I've got to pay rates for... But I'll pay for the water and the infrastructure for the water. I don't mind doing that. But I don't understand why I have to pay for rates, the rates on my land, which is mine. And let me say, if you've got property and you own it, make sure you try and get the deeds to it, because a lot of places can't get the deeds to their own properties anymore. It's impossible. So once you own it outright, make sure you've got the deed to that property. It's really important. Something I did when I paid my place off completely. I've always, every time I've owned some my residences that I've owned, I've always got the deed. Let us pray. Abba Father, we just pray that you'll open our eyes so that we can see the wondrous things from your Torah this day. And may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your presence, Yehovah, because you are my rock and my redeemer, and I trust wholly in you. I ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Well, my message today is titled The Rite of Redemption, and it's a little bit different to what we had there, but we do have the rite of redemption. So let's go to the second slide, please, to Yirmiyahu 32:6-9. Yirmiyahu said, "The word of Yehovah came to me. Hanamel, the son of your uncle Shallum, will approach you and say, 'Buy my field at Anatot. You have next of kin's right to redeem it, so buy it.' As Yehovah had said, my cousin Hanamel came to me in the guard's quarters and said, 'Please buy my field at Anatot in the territory of Benjamin, because you will inherit it, and you have next of kin's right to redeem it, so buy it for yourself.' Then I was certain this was Yehovah's word." The next slide. So I bought the field at Anatot, which belonged to my cousin Hanamel, and weighed out the money for him, 7 ounces of silver shekels, in Anatot, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. And further down in verse 14, here is what Yehovah Zevaot, the Elohim of Israel, says: "Take these contracts, both sealed and unsealed copies, and place them in a clay jar, so that they can be preserved for a long time." And in 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says, "For you were bought at a price, so use your bodies to glorify Yehovah." We treat this differently to what it was treated in the days of the scripture. We don't have to work, and you don't have to work in the mortgage business to know that it's pretty hard these days to get a loan for a home, because the banks have changed their lending processes. There have been a lot of problems with the mortgage market in the past, and I have seen so many people come into trouble because of these things. Even though interest rates were going down, what happened was that the banks and the mortgage brokers were giving loans to people, falsifying evidence with the full knowledge that there was not the sufficient evidence or the earnings of the applicant that could pay back that loan. In fact, false statements were made of their earnings so that the loan could take place, which means the loan sharks were in their element. And I know quite a few people that came under this attack. But they allowed them, they allowed the broker to say that they were earning so much money when they knew they weren't. So that is a sin in itself. That was lying. But because of this, it resulted in thousands upon thousands of homes and properties, including farmers, being taken back from the people because of their lack of being able to pay the mortgage. Or the banks had shifted the goalposts of the original mortgage contract, especially when it involved farmers. People lost everything, not just their home, but every cent they'd invested over generations, because they couldn't pay the price. The banks would purposefully sell off the homes or the properties at a loss so that the borrower would never be able to receive a penny. If we look at this in relation to sin, what they have done is sin, but the price of sin is high, and we don't have the ability to pay it. Because of the sin in our lives, we are in debt to the evil one, and he's holding that promissory note against us. Sin is a debt, and Hasatan is the debt collector. He loves to remind us, just like the debt collector, that calls you all the time. He is the accuser of your soul, that is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And we know how they can run amok when we have money troubles, let alone sin troubles. Why do we have to deal with the sin issue, you might ask? Well, because man brought sin into the middle of Yehovah's perfect plan. Did you ever wonder why Yah made man, and when he knew that man was going to mess up his perfect plan? I mean, Yah, when he created Adam, he knew that Adam was going to sin. He knows all. A better question maybe is, why did Yah make the earth and everything else? And I know that I'm not the first person to ask that, so let's look at the next slide, please. In Tehillim, Psalms chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you set in place, what are we mere mortals that you concern yourself with them, humans that you watch over them and with such care? King David was in wonder of Yah's plan. I don't believe he created us because he needed us. Yah didn't create us because he needed us. Let's have a look again in Acts 17, verses 24 to 25. The Elohim, or the God who made the universe and everything in it, and who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in man-made temples, nor is he served by human hands, as if he lacked something, since it is he himself who gives life and breath and everything to everyone. Yehovah didn't need us. He had plenty of company where he was. He had the heavenly host. He didn't make us to worship him for his ego to be fed. Yehovah is totally secure in who he is without us. He is the living Elohim. He doesn't have any needs that haven't already been met. He is sufficient all by himself. Yehovah does not need humanity, but humanity needs Yehovah. Can we go to the next slide, please? In Acts 17, verse 28. For in him, Yehovah, we live and move and exist. And indeed, as some of the poets among you have said, we are actually his children. Yah loved mankind before he actually created us. In Yirmiyahu 31 and verse 3, it says, from a distance, Yehovah appeared to me saying, I love you with an everlasting love. This is why, in my grace, I draw you to me. Of all of Yah's creation, we, mankind, are his greatest achievement. We were created to serve Yehovah and be obedient to him and to his instructions to his people, which is his Torah. But our obedience is more important than our service. We can serve him in any capacity that we want, but if we are not serving him in according to his Torah, it is a complete waste of time. That's my opinion. I know that I may be messing with somebody's revelation right now, but let us look at what a great prophet Shemuel had to say. He said in slide 6, please. Shemuel Aleph, 1 Samuel 15:22. Shemuel says, "Does Yehovah take as much pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying what Yehovah says? Surely obeying is better than sacrifice, and heeding orders than the fat of rams." If we obey, our service to Yah will be a natural product of the relationship we have with him. Without a temple, we can no longer offer burnt offerings as a pleasing aroma to Yehovah. But as a believer in Yeshua and a joint heir of the Father, we can have a relationship with Yehovah, especially with obedience to his Torah. Have you ever told a child not to touch something that is hot? What do they do? Immediately go and touch it and get burnt. Are they testing your word, or are they just checking it out for themselves? And we as adults are no different when it comes to obedience of Yah and his word. Have you ever tried telling a child to be quiet, especially indoors? My standard saying to my children and my grandchildren has always been, "Inside voices, please. If you want to make that noise, you're free to go outside." What do? They get even louder. You don't have to teach a child disobedience. It comes naturally. I've always said the first word a child always learns to say, one of the first words, is no, which is rebellion. You don't have to teach rebellion. It comes naturally. Mankind didn't sin because the adversary told him to sin. Mankind sinned because they disobeyed Yehovah. Now, every one of us is born with a sin issue. I'm sorry, but that's the way we're born. According to King David, who probably sinned more than any one of us here, or those listening at the moment, but that doesn't make our sin any less than his. In Yah's eyes, sin is sin. It doesn't matter the severity of the sin. In Tehillim or Psalms 51 and verse 5, it says, "True, I was born guilty, was a sinner from the moment my mother conceived me." And if that wasn't bad enough, Shaul tells the Romans in Romans 3:23, "Since all have sinned and come short of earning Yehovah's praise." And in Romans 5:12, he says, here's how it works. It was through one individual that sin entered the world, and through sin, death. And in this way, death passed through to the whole human race, inasmuch as everyone sinned. Now, I hope I haven't got everyone feeling depressed and feeling hopeless at the moment, but I wanted to give you some hope this afternoon, evening or morning, whenever you're listening or watching, no matter what time zone you're in. We're into Plan B. The greatest Plan B was put into action the minute that Adam and Hava sinned in the garden. It was the rite of redemption. There is something called the rite of redemption when it comes to real estate property, which we read in the Torah today. It states that it is the right of the debtor, whose property has been taken away and sold, and the original owner can get his property back only if they are able to come up with the money to repay it, repay the amount of the debt. But then Plan B came along. After Adam and Hava had sinned, Yah still went to the garden to see them. Their sin had separated him from his presence of Yehovah, but that didn't stop Yah from still wanting to see them. Adam and Hava hid, but Yah went looking for them. He is wanting to cry out, "Where are you?" He had grace and mercy on his mind when he called them. Grace and mercy was on Yah's mind even after sin entered into the garden. Yehovah knew that his plan of redemption had been activated. Can we go to the next slide, please? In Yochanan or John 3:16-17. For Yehovah so loved the world that he gave his only unique Son, so that everyone who trusts in him may have eternal life instead of being utterly destroyed. For Yehovah did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but rather so that through him the world might be saved. We are Yah's property, and he is in the redemption business. He doesn't care how much our lives have been ruined by sin. He's in the complete renovation process. Let me tell you this. He is not looking for perfection. Thank you, Yah. He is looking for the brokenhearted. He is looking for the lonely. He is looking for the ones that have been beaten down. He is looking for the emotionally and the physically abused. And he has already paid the cost of our redemption in full, at the stake. His blood paid the price for you and me to be redeemed. His grace and mercy was released at that stake. His grace and mercy aren't dependent on whether we need it or not. His grace and mercy are His grace and mercy are dependent on me determining how much I need for today. It simply says it is sufficient. His grace is sufficient for me. It's enough for you and me. That means he doesn't care what our mistakes are. He doesn't care how bad a person you are or think you are. You probably think that you're worse than what you really are. He looks at your sin and my sin and he says, "I've already paid the price for your redemption. The rite of redemption has already been completed for you and for me. From the foundation of the world, he did have Plan B in mind. He knew you and I were sinners, and that the adversary had already foreclosed on our future. Even though you may feel like you are on the foreclosure list at the moment and the adversary is auctioning off your dignity, your reputation, or even your life, Yeshua is standing in the crowd today and he's also going to be the highest bidder for you and for your soul and for everything that you have done. He's standing here in this room today to redeem his property. He is trying to seek and save you today because you are his most prized creation. Maybe some of you are thinking, I can't love me, I've done too many wrong things. But some of you are even dealing with devastating effects of sin in your life. Things, especially through your lack of good health. Others here today may have failed in their walk with Yah and prefer to go back into Christianity as they feel less condemned. The scriptures aren't in their face and therefore the feelings of guilt don't come upon them. And many have done that. You may be bound by sin and feeling condemned today. But we have Yah's blood who releases his grace and mercy and still fixes the sin problem. Yah's plan B is still in effect to this very day. He has activated his right of redemption. Yeshua, Yah's only son, went to Golgotha for you and for me, so that the price of our sin could be paid. It is the blood of Yeshua that brings upon our redemption. It is the blood that washes away our sin. But it's his love that looked beyond our faults and saw us as he sees us, not as we see us. Each one of us was called, and we were called by him for a reason. Excuse me. I say this because not everyone is called. Many are called, many fall away, as the parable of the seeds, Yeshua tells us. But those that are called, Yah has his hand on them. His hand was on me as a three-year-old. And I was called as a three-year-old. And haven't looked back. My twin sister, she was called as a seven-year-old, eight-year-old, but turned away from it. You can't say everyone is called, but many are called and more are fallen away. The scriptures tell us that he loved us from the foundation of the world. He loved us when he filled us with his Ruach HaKodesh. We are not saved by our works, because all of the good works I could ever do could never pay the cost of the mistakes of our past. But we have a Yah whose love still fixes the sin problem. His love still releases us from a life of sin daily. His love still conquers the condemnation and the shame that we might have in our life. My Yah is still the Elohim of grace. He steps into the middle of my mess and he'll turn it into something beautiful. And we have to praise him daily for doing that in our lives. Yehovah is never going to give up on you just because you made a mistake. Rather, he steps in and exercises his right of redemption. Sin separates us from Yehovah, but Yeshua's blood paid the price for restoration. Yehovah is still in the restoring and redeeming business, and that is unless we blaspheme his name. There is only one way that we can show us if we've sinned, and that is by knowing Yah's instructions to his people, which is found in the Torah of Moshe. This is why we read it every week. This is why we read it through every year. Because without that, we don't know where we've sinned, or how we've sinned, or why we've sinned. But through the Torah of Moshe, he reveals these things to us. Then we can repent. The Torah has not been overwritten by the writings of the apostles, and it never will. But it is referred to by the apostles. In Romans 5:20-21, it says, "And the Torah came into the picture so that the offence would proliferate. But where sin proliferated, grace proliferated even more. All this happened so that just as sin ruled by means of death, so also grace might rule through the causing people to be considered righteous, so that they may have eternal life through Yeshua the Messiah, Adonai. And in Romans 6:23, for what one earns from sin is death, but eternal life is what one receives as a free gift from Yehovah in union with the Messiah Yeshua, our Adonai. This Shabbat day, Yah is waiting on you. In Yirmiyahu 32:14, it says, here is what Yehovah Tzevaot, the Elohim of Israel, says. Take these contracts, both the sealed and the unsealed copies, and place them in a clay jar so that they can be preserved for a long time. The earthly vessel that the redemption plan is supposed to be placed inside is you and me. And the evidence of the ownership will be sealed inside us by the Ruach HaKodesh. And if you're truly redeemed, the evidence that will be able to be seen by everyone around you, and will be seen by your fruit. You see, Yehovah's favorite song of all is the song of the redeemed. When those purchased by his blood worship him, there's nothing more that he'd rather hear. This Shabbat day, the rite of redemption is for you. It is activated in your life when you recognize your need of him. It is applied to your life by obedience to his plan of salvation for you. And you may be asking a question that was asked 2,000 years ago in Acts 2:37-39. On hearing this, they were stung in their hearts and they said to Caiaphas and the other emissaries, brothers, what should we do? Caiaphas answered them and says, turn from sin. Return to Yehovah, each of you, and be immersed on the authority of Yeshua the Messiah into forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for those far away, as many as Yehovah Elohim may call. The fact that you are listening at this moment means that you have been called by Yehovah to make that step. Maybe you've already been immersed into the forgiveness of your sins, but you still have that voice in your head telling you that Yah cannot love you because of your past. Maybe you've even reverted back to the old ways of thinking or living. Today is the day for you to face Yah and ask for forgiveness of those thoughts. I know we bathe regularly in this age compared to scriptural times, but uncleanness in Yah's eyes always needed to be washed clean at the end of the day, according to the Torah. So when you bathe or shower this evening, let the water flow all over you from head to toe and ask Yah to wash you clean as you repent of any sin that needs to be dealt with, as you come with him to him with a true repentant heart. We're now going to go to the remembrance service. And before we start the remembrance service, I'm going to give you time, if you need it, to repent of anything that you feel that Yah's putting in your mind that you need to repent of. And then we will continue with the service.